Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
As I was sitting over there, standing, the song Yeshua kept going through my mind. Yeshua. Because we've been talking about the name of Jesus. And his Hebrew name, if you were alive back then, or if you were in Israel now, when they talked about Jesus, they would call him Yeshua. 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 It's so beautiful. Yeshua. Thank you, God, for the name above all names. And it says that that name right there is the only name under heaven which, if you call upon it, you will be saved. It's the only name. Yeshua. Jesus. Because his name goes on to say, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hebrew for Jesus, the Messiah. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is above all other names. And if you're sitting here today and you haven't called upon his name, please call upon his name, because I promise you, when you call upon his name to save you, it will change your life completely in the best ways that I can't even describe what that's like, because it is so, I use this word a lot, awesome. But it's even more than awesome. Ooh, it is everything. And if you're sitting here today and you wonder if he loves you, he loves you. He loves you. If you get nothing else from me today, and nothing else gets into your mind or your head, that one thing right there, I want that to be in your mind, that he loves you. Yes. Well, I'm so glad to see you here today. You guys showed up. It was awesome. Today we are concluding our message series, The Vision is Jesus. The Vision is Jesus. And Father God, as I start today, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I also pray, Father God, that as we go through your word, as we delve into it, that you, Father God, would be made more famous. That people will draw closer to you, and that I know you are. You're going to reveal more of yourself. Then, so doing, as you reveal yourself to us, we'll reveal more of ourselves to you willingly. So, Father God, we just thank you for that in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Oh, cool. You guys got your Bibles today? You guys got your Bibles today? Come on, we got the Bibles. Yes, and as I was praying about this morning, this is one important thing that kept on coming to mind. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And you need to hear his word to build up your faith. And you're like, Pastor Caleb, I ain't got a Bible. I'm saying to you right now, if that's you and you do not have a Bible at your house, if you do not have or own a Bible, please get a hold of me or any of the pastors here. You need to have God's word in your life. It is not, you know, as amazing as we are as preachers here, because God has blessed us. You need to be in God's word more than just on a Sunday morning. You need to be in his word. And your faith will be built up. That's a promise from God. If you listen to his word, your faith will grow. You can't just sit there and go, oh, I'm going to get more faith, or pump iron. That doesn't work. You pump iron by lifting up his word and opening the pages and seeing what God through his prophets and his people did through the Holy Spirit as they wrote this down. This is God's word to you. Yes, very important. So if you have his word, I'm going to tell you beforehand, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1 just to get there, but I am still introducing. As we conclude our series, The Vision is Jesus, with our key verse, Psalm 34, verse 8. That's in the Old Testament. It says, and we should know this by now because we've been preaching it for the last couple of weeks, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And what I'm going to be preaching on today, how blessed is the man or woman who takes refuge. And we go on to say that refuge word here, there is more meaning to that, you know, because there's a lot of meaning in the Hebrew and the Greek words. To take refuge also means to trust or to take shelter or to seek in him. Chapter 1 of Philippians. Blessed, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him or trusts in him. And that Hebrew word is called kasa. Kasa. And this is important because in Psalm 34, David's just not saying, "Hey guys, oh, just taste and see that the Lord is good." He knew it because of experience. When he wrote this psalm, he had just played crazy so he could be released by Abimelech. Freed him. God freed him. So David is speaking out of an experience where God saved him because David ran to the refuge and seeked him out and trusted in him. And now he is blessed because he was freed by Abimelech. Amen. As we conclude, today's message is called, this is cool, "Look, it's just over the horizon." When I got the vision for this, I remember, I don't know if it was a movie or not, but I can remember these two guys sitting on the beach and they were like looking out into the ocean. He's like, "See it just curves over there," and you could just see the very top of the ship going down, down, down. He's like, "Is it sinking?" "No, he's just going over the horizon." As you're sitting there and you're looking off into the distance in your future, in Jesus' vision, because Jesus is the vision, you can trust in the vision he has for you. So seek and look over the horizon and trust in him. Take refuge in Jesus. And our key verse for today is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God, in Christ Jesus." Amen. So far, we have tasted God, we have seen God, and we know him to be good. Now it's time to trust him and be blessed. Because it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you." Now take that personally here. God in his word was speaking to somebody specifically, but he's also speaking to us at the same time. "I know the plans I have for you." And what are these plans, God? He declares, "These plans are for your welfare, your good, and not for calamity." Not for calamity. It's not for disaster. It's not for bad things to happen to you. It is for your good, your welfare, for to you to have a future. I don't know what a lot of you are going through, But his plans for you are good. And why is that? Because he is good. So that future, yes, it's a right to clap for that. His future for you is good. So when you look to your future and you try to see over the horizon, you can hope in that, because it says to give you a future and a hope. I don't know what you're facing tomorrow, but I know the future is good for you, because the one who's giving you the future is good. Anchor yourselves in that. Anchor yourself in that truth. God is good. I have a future that is awesome and good. God's vision for us is amazing and awesome. And I'm about to get to you to tell you why these visions and callings and plans are awesome for you. But we must know that we trust Jesus and not the vision. The vision is Jesus, but the visions and the callings and the stuff of your life are not necessarily what you're going after. You're seeking after him. That's what I want you to understand, is the more we go after him, the more he releases the visions, the callings, and the passions in your life. So the more I go after him, the more I draw after him, the more I seek him, the hunger that comes after him and his word. The hunger that we talk about is a hunger that the more you eat of his word, the more you eat of his presence, the more you eat of his worship, the more you'll want. It's an insatiable hunger. If you're doing it right, you'll want more and more and more. When you do that and you go after him, the side product are the visions, the callings, the blessings, and the passions of your life. The vision, the plan God has for us, is so much better than the ones we might have for ourselves. However, sometimes we can take our eyes off the vision. We can take our eyes off him. Or we are unable to see beyond the horizon. I remember a few years ago, we used to spend a lot of time down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And one of the most favorite things I like to do is go to the edge where the water is, and you can look out, and you look straight across. And it goes out so far, and you can only see so far, and it continues just to see over the horizon, knowing that between South Carolina, there is nothing until you get to Morocco. Thousands of miles. Ooh, powerful. But sometimes we can't see, we can't trust what's beyond the horizon for us. The future we think, because of the experiences we have had, make us think that the future is not going to be great. But we know that it is, because the one making our future is great, is good. And to trust in him, the vision is Jesus. Even when we can't see a specific result beyond the horizon, we know that Jesus is always there, and he always will be for eternity. When we trust in him and walk out the vision that we have, that he has for us, we will be blessed. When we face the storms of life, we wonder if we can trust him with our future. The truth is, he is the Lion of Judah. It sung that part in the song, the Lion of Judah. He is fierce in a good way. He is fierce to our enemies. He is fierce for our future. He goes before us. We can trust in him. It says in his word, "O taste and see that the Lord is good, and those will be blessed that take refuge in him, that trust in him, that seek in him." When you seek refuge in him, you will be blessed. He is the Lion of Judah, and he's leading the way. There are many people from the Bible that we can look at who trusted God thoroughly, even though they faced many setbacks and hardships. People like Joseph, Daniel, Moses, and many others. Though today, I want to look at the life of Paul. As we will see in today's verses of Scripture, Paul had a good plan for his life, but God had a better one. He had a better plan. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, and we're getting there, verse 12. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be first? I didn't open it up yet. So you guys better be first. Philippians. General Electric Power Company. I want you guys to remember that. General Electric Power Company. When you guys are like, where's Philippians? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. Okay. We can't have fun here. This is church. You guys better start being serious. This goes over the internet, you know. They're going to be like, that church in Freeville, New York, they actually laughed and had fun in church because they have a hope in Jesus. They have a hope for a future in Jesus who is good. They actually laughed and had fun. No. God is good all the time. All the time. Here, we're going to see that Paul goes through something, and in his life, as he's going through this, we would think, Paul, how can you be happy? How can you see past all this? Because this situation here would seem like it's not going great. But in verse 12 through 20, we're going to read why it is good, even though the situation seemed bleak at the time. It says, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And you're like, what circumstance, Paul? What are you talking about? So that my imprisonment, see, Paul was in prison at this time. And we're not talking about three hots in a cot type of prison. We're talking about bad place to be prison. You don't want to be here. In the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and then in this I rejoice. This bad circumstance that Paul was in, how can you trust a future with God, Paul? You're in prison right now. You're in prison. This is a bad circumstance. He's like, wait a minute. My future I know is good because the one I serve is good. And it doesn't make sense to me now why I'm in prison, why I'm in this thing. But then he's like, wait a minute. Because I am in this circumstance right now, the people around me, the Praetorian Guard, are now hearing the gospel. And they would not have heard it if I had not been here. The God, our future is bright. Our future is good. Because there's a purpose and a plan for our future. We're not just rolling through here. There's a reason why he's doing the things in your life that he's doing. And the biggest thing is to bring other people to a place where they can worship him and be saved. The circumstances of your life ultimately lead you to these places so other people can know about him. Amen. Yes. And I will rejoice, for I know that it will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now, in the midst of the circumstance I am in right now, as always, will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. Well, that was deep. That was a little strong. What Paul is saying here is, my determination is that my entire life now is going to be sold out to Jesus. My future is in him. So my life is all about him. It's not just Jesus and everything. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And all other things will happen. But we keep our eyes focused on the vision because over the horizon is Jesus. He is the vision. We keep our eyes on him. If there was anyone who could have doubted God's vision for his life, it should have been Paul. He was literally in prison writing this letter. But he knew it was because God was good. He knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that there would be an amazing outcome. That people would hear the gospel for the first time. That people who already believed would be more bold to speak their faith. And that the gospel would continue to grow. The Apostle Paul lived out the vision Jesus had to him. He trusted him, even in the most difficult circumstances. If you could turn to chapter 3 in Philippians. Paul reinstates this again for us. Whatever vision you have for your life, whatever God is, you know, it used to be I had this vision for myself when I was younger that I was going to do this and I was going to go there and I was going to do this, that, and the other thing. But I know that all those things are nothing as compared to what God has for me. And Paul goes on to tell us this in his word right here. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to go through 1 through 14. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice in the Lord. We can be happy in the Lord. To write these same things again to you is no trouble to me, for it is a safeguard for you. He's like talking to his people. You're going to face some things in your life. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in spirit of God and glorify in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now he's going to go through his history and all the things that he had planned for himself. Although myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has in mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised in the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law found blameless. But for whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted but loss for the sake of Christ. What he's saying here, when you looked back at Paul's life when he was Saul, he was everything that you wanted to be. It'd be like right now, the famous people that other people look up to. Oh, you've got this, you're doing these things, you're famous, you're rich. All those things back in the day, Paul was those things when he was Saul. He says, look back, guys, I was all those things. Everything that most people wanted to be in life, I was it. But he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever dreams and things I had for myself back then, before I knew God, are nothing as compared to what it is to know Him and the plans He has for me in my life. More than that, I count all things to being lost in the view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. To know Him as your Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He's saying, for Christ I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. To gain Christ, and may be found not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, and be conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting it, what lies behind, I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul gave up everything to follow Jesus. And you may be thinking, why would you give up all those things, Paul? Because I get to know Jesus now. And what He has for me is so much better than what I had for myself. I count it but rubbish. And now Paul's telling us right here, when he says, not that I've already obtained it, but I press on to find out why He laid hold of me. There was a reason God called him out. And there is a reason why God called you out. Paul spent his life going after what that meant. Why did God lay hold of him? He wanted to know. And what I want you guys to do is to find out why God laid hold of you. And to trust Him with that. Why is it important to know why God laid hold of you? Why is it important? Because when you walk out the calling and the passion of your life, everything will be changed for the people around you and you. He called you out for a purpose. He laid His hand on you for a purpose. Do you guys know what that purpose is for your life? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. If somebody asked you today, what is God's purpose for your life? Do you know it? We live for Him, but how is He expressing Himself through you to a lost and dying world? Sometimes it's not as easy. What is my purpose? What is your passion in Him? What are you going after? What are you living for? What are you giving yourself for? Is it just to go through the next day? No. He calls us to live for so much more than what this world has for us. We're to live for Him and to go hard after Him. And when we do, the future He has for you, the callings and the plans He has for you are so much better. And it's so awesome and worthy to go after it. Amen. You're like, Pastor Caleb, I want to do that. I want to be all in for God. I want to be all in for Him. I remember for myself, I was listening to something one day, and the pastor was talking about being all in for Jesus. No more half in, half out. No more half measures. It was all in. Because God is asking you to be all in with your life. It is all about, it's easy. The meaning of life is because of Jesus. All in for him. Whew. Man. I feel like today has been a little bit more serious than what I had in my mind. Because it is a serious thing. God just doesn't want you to go through life just trying to get to the next day or arrive at death safely. Because that's what it is, folks. I arrive safely at death. He wants you to live your life for him, to seek refuge in him, because the future is good, because the one you're trusting in is good. So take some time this week and know that God is good, but ask yourself, spend time with Jesus, spend time in the secret place with him. God, am I living my life for you? Are other things taking precedent over that? You may be great in all areas except one. Oh, I want you to spend more time in my word, son. All these other areas you're doing great in. But grow in this. Take time this week. Spend time with him. Be in his presence. See the goodness of God. Spend time in his word. Father God, as we just close here, you guys can stand. I've been preaching at you. When we preach, when we do these things, we do these things because God is telling the preacher the same thing. I'm not just talking to you guys because I can see something. I'm like, oh yeah, this, this, and this. God says it to me too. As a shepherd of a church, the pastors here, when we get a message, it's because God is saying, look into the distance, look over your flock, and what do you see? I can see this in the distance, God. I can see this. I want to hedge this off. We'll preach about being passionate for Jesus, preach about how to pray in the Spirit. We preach because we see something that God wants us to tell everybody. Sometimes it's a warning for the flock. Sometimes it's uplifting. Today it's awareness. I don't want you guys to go through your life just blah. I want you to seek out the passion God has for you so you can develop the passion in yourself. Because when you walk in the passion, that's God's love expressing itself through you. He expresses himself differently through me than he does you, because you're going to reach different people than I do. I want you to know how God expresses his love through you. Because when you let him do that, it's contradictory in a way. That's because you've surrendered. The more you surrender, the more God works through you. That makes you the most of who you're going to be, because that's the most he is going to be in you. Whoa, that's a tongue twister. But you guys get it. When I surrender to God all aspects of my life and he expresses his love through me, it reaches a lost and dying world. Because the future is good. And he's bringing us together to him because Jesus is the vision. When we keep our eyes on him, and he expresses his love through us so others around us can see too that Jesus is the vision. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we get to come here and see that you're the vision. We know that we can take refuge in you. And like I said earlier, if you have not taken refuge in him by calling on his name, call on his name right now. Don't be ashamed. Jesus. Ooh, call upon his name. Be saved. Be brought into the family. See that the future is good. And help be used by God to bring others into him. Father God, we just thank you for that. And if anybody did say that right then, we just say, God, seal it now in the name of Jesus. Seal it now in the name of Jesus. And don't keep that message to yourselves. Go and tell somebody, a pastor, that you have called on the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that our futures are good and that you love us. And we just praise you and thank you for it. And I just want to bless you all this week with a hunger for his word, a hunger to worship him, and even more so, a hunger to go and tell the world about the love of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.